Welcome to Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen, and this is Tuesday, August the 20th, and we're somewhere in the vicinity of 75 days, give or take one or two, from the election. But most importantly, if you listened last night, you heard some of the best political speeches in a generation. First off, I have to say, and I loved what Joe Biden said very much. I thought he was incredibly great. Everything that I expected, really. However, I also have to say that Hillary Clinton was just phenomenal. And not surprisingly at all to me, AOC was maybe the best of everybody. And it's so funny because, you know, AOC, who made the comment about her being a bartender, which I know she enjoys that a lot because she knows what it does to people on the right. And beyond just people on the right, just the crazy Trump nonsense, they just get crazy about her. They don't like her at all. They really despise her. And she loves that they despise her. She sort of builds strength from it. And as everybody explained that was at the convention yesterday, she probably got the biggest ovation of anybody at the convention, and she is one unbelievable great speaker, which is not even slightly surprising, considering the fact that she learned everything from Ted Kennedy. And that's the truth. She worked for Kennedy after she left Boston University. You know, she was a top student at Boston University, one of the top universities in our country. And yes, while she was going to Boston University, she did 10 bar, which lots of people take small jobs to go through college. Very normal. But she loves to tell the story because then the right goes crazy saying how she's nothing but a bartender, when the truth is she's a brilliant political scientist, historian, and on top of all of that, she's been taught by one of the greatest of all time, and that, of course, is Ted Kennedy. So the fact that she's so incredibly sharp at a convention like last night should not surprise anybody. She is the upcoming future of the Democratic Party. And now, given the likelihood that Kamala will serve as president from 2024 all the way through 2032, I think that what you can expect is that in 2032, AOC will run for president herself. I always thought she'd run in 28, but that's because I thought, you know, Joe Biden would do two terms. But Kamala will do two terms, and then AOC will come right behind her. I feel certain that that's what's going to happen. Because in the first place, Kamala can't be beat now. And, you know, Hillary said it perfectly last night. I mean, everybody says, of course, we got to keep fighting. We got to keep working. There's no time to just be complacent. Can't do that. No, you got to work on this. But beyond that, Kamala has Donald on the run. Hillary said it. And I am certain that she is absolutely 100% correct. Donald is on the run. assuming that he can run, but that's another story. Look, Trump knows where this is going. And there is reporting out of his campaign that says that he is really desperate and just shocked beyond control over the fact that this next couple of days, the Democratic Party convention is going to get the biggest number of viewers watching this, well, than anybody can even imagine. It certainly won't even leave Donald close to anything because Donald can't even get a rally going anymore. People don't even show up for him. Okay, he gets half of a stadium filled. All those people that he got before, that's gone. So if he gets half of a stadium filled, well, first he knows that's a problem. He'll deny it. He'll claim that he's got more people than by the time he's through, it'll be more than the Million Man March. But so far, he's only claimed more than Martin Luther King, which was over 300,000 in itself. And you know that's not true. But in reality, this is a political season like none before. Donald Trump is virtually crushed. And all you have to do is look at the numbers. First of all the swing states, and then look at the overall numbers, which are growing by the day. Depending on which poll you look at, Kamala's already somewhere between 5 and 8 points nationally ahead of Trump. Now, I know the Trump people and others like to say that these elections are run state by state, but you have to understand, when you go above a certain amount of popular vote, the Electoral College takes care of itself. Once you get high enough, there is no more question about individual states. Now, I will say this, and I know that Donald believes that this is his big chance. See, he doesn't think he's out of this. He thinks he's lost the election. He knows that. But he thinks that by playing games, that he can throw this into the House of Representatives, even if he wins, even if Kamala wins by 10 million votes, 15 million votes, he doesn't think there's a problem. Because what he's intending to do, and he's already told people, and they've got people lined up, I've explained that there are at least 70 polling places in states all over the United States where they've installed people who will immediately begin to appeal anything that's a loss. So if Donald loses in every state, he will claim that he won, and he will try to prevent certification of the vote, and he'll try to throw this into the House of Representatives. And you know this has been done before. And I think I've explained this pretty well, but I'll just give it to you a little bit again. You know, President Rutherford B. Hayes beat Sam Tilden, but not really. Sam Tilden both won the popular vote and he won the Electoral College by 20 votes. And this is in 1876. Now, what happened is they played the Donald Trump game. They claimed that everything was fake and everything was wrong, and they managed to push this into the House of Representatives. Now, in this case, in the case of Hayes and Tilden, the difference is that they had a plan which really couldn't be beat. Because you got to remember, this was Reconstruction. It was right after the Civil War, 11 years after the Civil War had ended. And during this period, Hayes worked out this plan. Pretty simple. He would remove all the federal troops from the South because there were Union troops, federal troops, all over the South. And those troops were there to protect black people. And without those troops, black people were sunk. So Hayes went to Congress and said, look, if you make me president, I will remove all of those federal troops from the South, and you can do whatever you want to black people. It's your game. You do what you want. It's up to you. I'll never bother you a day. And the House basically said, this is a deal that we just can't refuse. So despite the fact that Tilden not only won the popular vote, but he also won the Electoral College vote, he was able to throw it into the House of Representatives, and then he lost the election because the House turned it over to Rutherford B. Hayes. Hayes did take the troops out of the South, and they stayed out of the South for 80 years until 1954. And in 1954, the Supreme Court ruled, you can't do this anymore. And that was officially the end of it. I say officially because white people fought for years after that in order to keep things the way they had been under Jim Crow. And remember, 2024 isn't much different. The black hating in 2024 is truly out of control. And here we live right in the middle of it. All you got to do is go to Francis Howell or Wentzville. And the same thing that's being done in Florida and in some other states around the country, the same things. Well, it's just 1876 all over again. Well, at least they'd like it to be. Now, they do have a problem. That is the black haters. And believe me, there are big numbers out there. Remember Donald. Remember what he said. There are good people on both sides. So, you know, there were good people on the side of decent human beings. And then there were good people on the side of the Nazis, of the neo-Nazis. So, yeah, there were good people everywhere. There were good neo-Nazis, according to Donald Trump. So they're everywhere. And they are more than willing to step up in an effort to use blackness in order to try to win this for Donald Trump. You know, Donald talks about getting 25% of the black vote, and we know now, especially with Kamala there, and I always said he'd be lucky to get 5%, and especially after what happened at the Black Journalists Association. But forget that now. That's not even the important part. The important part is the fact that Kamala Harris will be the first black woman president of the United States. And if you don't believe it, you listen to the speeches tonight. Because the first thing that's going to happen is that Michelle Obama is going to speak in order to introduce Barack. Michelle's going to bring the house down. I am telling you, she is. Everything I said about last night's speeches, 100% on point. The humanity in that convention was unbelievably fine. Well, watch tonight, because Michelle Obama is going to take a country that's on fire with support for Kamala, and Michelle Obama is going to multiply it by 10. She is going to bring down that house tonight. And that's only the start, because after that, she is introducing Barack Obama. Between the two of them, this country, I keep saying, is on fire. And it is. It's nothing compared to what you're going to see once Barack Obama gets off that stage tonight. Like I say, the country's on fire. Multiply that by 10, because I can tell you that there is no question about Michelle and Barack Obama and what they are going to do first to the convention and then to the country. You know, when I told my students today that they were going to listen tonight to Michelle and Barack Obama, they didn't say, do we have to do it? They said, we'll do it. Don't worry. For sure, we'll do it. I am telling you, you can multiply that by 48 million black people in this country. Donald Trump will be lucky if he has Tim Scott on his side after tonight's over. No, I take it back. He'll have Tim Scott. Don't worry about that. There's always somebody like that. But I can assure you that what's going to happen tonight because of Barack and Michelle Obama will truly affect this country in ways that you just don't even understand unless you're really tuned into all of this, and then you do understand. Then you realize exactly what's coming tonight. There's just no getting around it. And if you think not, just remember what AOC and Hillary were able to do last night. And Hillary and AOC are not Michelle and Barack Obama. They're good, but they're not what you're going to see tonight. What you're going to see tonight is going to be phenomenal. Now, I have to say that last night's speech from Joe Biden, I did love it. And here's the thing, and this is a perfect example of Earth 1 and Earth 2. Joe Biden said last night, I love my job. He said, I love my job, but I love my country more. Now, I understand, if you're on the right, you're probably laughing hysterically. Yeah, you love the country. Oh, yeah, right. But see, here's the thing. You know that he stepped away from his job as president of the United States. He did it because he does love the country. He didn't do it because he felt like just walking away from the presidency, because he didn't want to leave and he doesn't want to leave. But he's happy to leave for Kamala Harris. He really is. And he said last night, and I believe this completely. He said, you know, there are rumors that I'm angry, that I'm bitter and all this. He said, I'm not. I'm very pleased at what's happening here. But let's say you don't believe that one. But you see, everybody believes when he said, I love my job, but I love my country more. Not normal people believe that one. And the reason they believe it is because he walked away. People do not walk away from the presidency. And listen to this. Here's what he could have done. He could have easily done this. He could have said, while you're all talking about me walking away, I'm making a deal to release 16 prisoners from the Middle East in negotiations with Vladimir Putin. Now, he could have said that, and believe me, people would have responded to it in serious numbers, and he would have maintained the nomination. There would have been those who were worried, for sure, but he could have held on to it on the back of what he was accomplishing in the Middle East. And by the way, you know he's inches away from an agreement in the Middle East that will end all the fighting in Gaza. He's close. He's been close for a while. That's true. But he is doing everything. He is twisting arms. He is pushing hard. He wants peace in the Middle East, and he's wanted it for several months now. At first, I think he realized that it was a good political thing for himself. And now I think he realizes and easily realizes that this is very important for Kamala Harris. So I think that he's pushing for it. Now, don't get me wrong. He also undoubtedly doesn't like the fact that the Israelis are killing tens of thousands of people in Gaza who are really innocent people. But the problem, of course, is that they are being used as human shields. So it's very difficult for the Israelis. And believe me, I'm a critic of what the Israelis are doing. But it's very easy for the Israelis, while they're trying to stomp out Hamas, to accidentally kill other people that they really don't want to kill. And I know there's some people in the world who say, just kill them all. I know about those. But, you know, that's not right either, and we know that. And certainly the Israeli people aren't for that at all. But they do want to be protected, that's for sure. They don't want rockets raining down on them. And so, you know, they want to get rid of Hamas. That's a fact. But here in the United States, the issue is the innocent people in Palestine, because those innocent people in Palestine, I mean, they truly are caught in between everybody. Now, by the way, I'm going to open up the phones here. 314-471-1968, and you will be able to call me here, and you could talk about any of this. So let's just get that turned on, which I just did. And so, yeah, I just wanted to mention, you can call. So we can do that. But let me go on from here and say that there's no doubt in my mind that Israel wants to stop the fighting because they want the people to come out. I mean, they do. They want the people who are being held hostage to be released. Now, we also know that there were people who were held hostage, six of them, that were pulled out yesterday, who are dead. And there may be more behind that as well. So it's a complicated deal. Of course, to the Palestinians, it's not complicated at all. They only know one thing, and I can I can understand their feeling. But I'm just saying, without any doubt in my mind, that two things need to happen here. The Palestinians need their own country, they need freedom, and they need security. And Israel needs to be able to maintain its freedom and its security. And those two things have got to coexist, or I can assure you, the Palestinians will have nothing, because Israel will never back down and never allow Palestine to destroy them. I mean, it's not possible. The United States won't allow it, and we're going to take a call right now. Go ahead, Les.
Okay, so I was listening to Fox News this morning.
That sounds like a personal problem.
No, it's entertaining in one way. So what I hear is them turning everything around to, you know, against Biden, and again, even if it's not correct, they'll turn it around. And so what they said is they were interviewing. There was an interview going on by someone, I think it was from CNN, with this guy last night, that they said to him, you know, what do you think about the the Palestinians? And, the Palestinians all like Hamas. All the Palestinians like Hamas, he said. And they said, well, what do you think about October 7th? And this guy said, what do you mean? And then the interviewer said, well, I mean, you know, all the people that got killed and stuff. And the guy started going crazy, and he was like an extremist. And so they cut him off. And then Fox was saying, now look at what Biden said last night.
Now, wait a second. Before you go on with that.
Yeah.
Well, I assume this guy that you're talking about from Palestine was saying that the murders of the 1,400 Israelis never happened, right?
Well, he was.
Because they do say that.
And we never got to hear exactly what he said. But he was pissed off that it was even being brought up, you know. And so that was, you know, probably what he was indicating.
Sure.
Or he was indicating that it was fine that that happened.
Yeah, probably not fine. They like to say it never happened.
They deserve it. Well, they will. They'll also say that they deserve it, because they'll say that Israel is, you know, doing the same thing to them and blah, blah, blah.
Okay, and by the way, they think we deserve it.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Right.
But here's the point. The point is, then it was Faulkner on Fox. So she says, well, you know, look at what Biden said last night in his speech, that it was he kind of understood the protesters outside what they were saying.
He did say that. That's right.
Yeah.
And I do, too.
This was one of the extreme protesters that they were taught, that CNN was talking to and doing that interview. So she was tying it together that, can you believe that Biden was saying, he understands how, you know, they feel, and, you know, pointing towards that extremist that was saying, you know, it was, you know, that the Palestinians all believe that Hamas is fine. And Biden was saying he understands their perspective.
And by the way, that's not likely either, because the Palestinians do not all support Hamas.
No.
And they also know that
there
many of them have died because Hamas is using them as shields. But go ahead.
But he was talking, obviously, about the Palestinians that, you know, were protesting on the fact that so many Palestinians were being killed. And we understand that part. That part, we understand that that's a problem. But not relating to that guy that was saying, you know, either they deserve it. They cut him off, but he was going crazy. Like, what are you bringing up October 7th? Like, there was something wrong with Hamas. He was, you know, pro-Hamas.
Well, you're not shocked that there are Palestinians who want Israel destroyed, right? So I don't understand what you're telling me. Well, that you were entertained by listening to that mess?
No, Biden wasn't saying that.
No,
you
Biden,
know that.
No, Biden, of course he wasn't saying that.
That's my point. Biden was saying that he understands how the majority of Palestinians that just don't want their families and friends being killed anymore.
Well, that's
right. And that Fox, yeah, but Fox was relating it to that terrorist that was saying, well, that was pro-Hamas. You know,
I mean, don't
saying,
don't
can
forget
you believe Biden would
yeah.
say that.
Don't forget, Fox had to pay almost $1 billion to that election company, that polling company that counts up the votes. And there's another one out there, and they're probably going to have to pay another $1 billion to that group because they're stupid. And, you know, they can make money all year long by having an audience. But the problem is
that's true.
Is they're going to give it all away if they keep acting stupid. So if
well,
they
the
want to, let them give it away.
Yeah. The problem is they're not just telling the truth about what's going on.
Well, that's how they ended up paying the first $1 billion. And
yeah.
they're going to end up paying another $1 billion at least. And by the time they're through, well, who knows what's going to happen to them? Because, listen, Donald Trump is going to be absolutely annihilated in this election.
Right.
First of all, the numbers are already building against him. And I will say this. You're going to watch Barack Obama and Michelle
right.
tonight,
Joe.
And
yep.
I guarantee you, you're going to walk away from that and realize that Donald has absolutely no chance.
No doubt. But those Fox viewers won't be watching it, by the way. They're not going to
well,
be
they
watching
wouldn't...
it. They don't want to see it. They don't want to know it.
Well, because they don't want to see black people anyway. No, of course they hate black people. What are you talking about? The anti-blackness in this country, which has always been here. I mean, the Willie Horton ad during the George Bush run for the presidency, that was an obvious
okay.
example. And then this Glenn Youngkin in Virginia pulled this nonsense. But now you live in a state,
okay.
Leslie, you live in a state
yeah.
where Francis Howe and Wentzville are telling you how much they will do, to what extent they will go to get rid of blackness.
Okay, Mark.
Yes.
And I understand what you're saying, and you're right about the black situation going on. But it's the Fox viewers are not going to be watching it for this reason that I'm about to say, because they want Trump to make America great again, and they don't want to listen to anything that is contrary to that. They
okay,
don't
Leslie,
want to hear it
Leslie,
because they don't believe that there's anything other than Trump will make America great again.
And in listen,
go on.
June of 1954,
yeah,
Joe McCarthy was into the same nonsense, communism, and everything else.
Right,
and he was completely disgraced, censured by the Senate, disgraced as a senator, and shortly mm-hmm. thereafter he died. But the point is that in June of 54, with all the disgrace that he sustained, 35% of the people were still on his side. And what I'm telling you is that's the same 35% that supported Joe McCarthy at his lowest point who are out here right now supporting Donald Trump. But they're going nowhere with it, and they're not. And listen, I agree with you. They're not going away. They loved
right.
Joe McCarthy. They hate black people, and they will do anything to support the anti-black former president.
So you're saying, so here's the part that gets me, because I agree you're right about the problem that blacks have in this country. But, I mean, it just sounds to me like you're saying that's everything about this. 100%.
It happens to be a 100%. Very big part of it. It's a very big part of it. I mean, why do you think these school districts all over the country are banning black books?
Okay, but what about the fact that they just don't like a liberal point of view in any way? They don't want people to marry outside of, you know, a man should marry a woman, you know.
Yeah, Joe McCarthy.
A man should not marry a man.
Joe McCarthy.
But that's not all of the liberal point of views.
It's joined together.
Progressive point of views.
It's joined together.
Yeah.
And plus, look what they're seeing. They got a Congress and a Senate. Well, not the Senate so much, but they got a Congress that's loaded with black people. Okay, they've got, you know, the black caucus. There are black caucuses all over the country. I mean, black people are elected to things. Okay,
that's right.
They have to stop it. I mean, there's only so much they can take, and they've reached their limit. And Donald Trump, and I'm telling you this,
if you
go to Google and you put in the line that Trump gave about immigrants poisoning the blood of America, the first thing out of his mouth is that the blood of America is being poisoned by immigrants from Africa. First thing out of his mouth. Now, you know, you can listen to that and say, well, that doesn't mean black people. That's just some people from Africa. Well, you tell me which white people he's talking about, because he's not talking about Norway.
No, I understand that part.
Yeah, and you see, DRC,
I mean,
DRC is on here. DRC
they're
is
also
on.
Also against abortion. They're against abortion.
Leslie.
What?
DRC is online right now. DRC is online right now saying that it's pornography that's being banned, not black books. But you see, here's the problem. In the first place, these people don't even know what pornography is. They haven't seen the books. They don't even know what's involved. They've just been told this by Donald and all these people, so they believe what they're told. So that's the first part of it.
Here's the point.
I'll hang up on you if you don't. Okay, I'll hang up. Goodbye. Okay, so here's the thing. Hank Aaron and Roberto Clemente are not porn stars, nor did they promote pornography of any kind. All they did is play baseball. But they were black. So, DRC, you figure it out. Then they got rid of Toni Morrison and a whole bunch of other names, black names, Zora Neale Hurston. Hurston, the names are all over the place. They have gotten rid of black books, and if a black author mentioned a girl in the book, then they said, "Oh, pornography." Come on, you all. Don't you know what happened in 1954 when the Supreme Court said 9-0? That you can't discriminate against the kids. They fought to keep those kids out of the schools. Governors stood in front of those schools and said, you're going to have to fight through me and the troops in our state to get those young kids in these schools. And they tried to kill young kids. You know, there is something, you know, that happened in Little Rock. You might want to go back and check that out. And, of course, Eisenhower, being the president of the United States, did follow the law and sent troops. But white people weren't kidding back then. And I'll tell you, they got quieted down when all the black people got into sports and got into entertainment. That's true. They did that for sure. But as soon as Glenn Youngkin jumped up in Virginia, let me tell you, they responded instantly. It was Willie Horton all over again. Stop the blackness. And it has spread across this country. And you can say, I'm crazy. That's fine. It doesn't bother me. I'll tell you this. Get a bunch of black people in front of you, and they'll tell you the exact same thing. And they know it. They know it because they've seen it. It's sort of like Jews in Germany who saw the Nazis and knew when they were coming to get them for the camps. And believe me, when Donald says that there will be mass deportations, and he has said that there will be mass deportations of some American citizens as well, go look it up. It's all in Project 2025. You can sit here and play games, say all these things, but the bottom line is this. They've got a plan. They got a plan to get rid of black people. They got a plan to get rid of liberals. They got a plan to deny the results of this upcoming election. They have a plan, and they're not kidding. DRC, let's see. The wokest mentality is Democrats. Well, that's fine. Your party is the origin of the KKK. You know, there were Democrats in the KKK. That's true. What does that have to do with anything? I don't really identify so much as, yeah, I'm getting to it, Greg. Don't worry. I don't, you know, so much identify as a Democrat. I mean, I support Democrats. I've never voted for, well, I voted for one Republican, and that was really a Democrat, and that was, of course, in the governor's election, you know, Eric Greitens, who was always a Democrat all his life, in fact, a radical leftist, and then he switched because Koster switched, and it wasn't a good thing for him, and yet he won. Okay. I did support him, though. I do like Eric, who has always been a radical leftist. I mean, he says he's not now, and that's fine, you know. But honestly, it's not a matter of supporting any party. I support what's right. And one thing I can tell you that's right is to go to dinner tonight at a great restaurant, and that's Wendy's. And I mean to tell you, that is a dinner that you'll never forget. Wendy's has wings, which, you know, people love wings. That's a popular thing, the wings. And the wings there, I've been told, are excellent. Now, I eat other things there, but that's all right. You don't have to all eat the same thing. Just like politics, you don't have to all be the same thoughts. But I'm just saying this. If you want a great meal, you'll go to Wendy's. That's all. And you'll pick what you want. But they've got hamburgers. They've got cheeseburgers. They've got patty melts. They've got pizza. They've got salad. And as I've always said, the drinks, for me, it's iced tea, and I love it. And their iced tea is the best iced tea I've ever had. So all I'm going to say is go to Wendy's, enjoy the great food, and don't forget my favorite, which is the baby back ribs and the onion rings, because they are superb. Now, after you've eaten it all, you can go straight out to Defiance and do it again, because they've got the same great food at Wendy's Roadhouse in Defiance, 2999 South Highway 94. Ben and his wife have built a great business, wonderful restaurant, great atmosphere, super food. Go to Wendy's. Now, 4506 Hampton, that's where you can get great jewelry at Jewels on Hampton. Now, there's no question Al, the owner, is a superb designer of jewelry. And believe me, they have cases filled with jewelry that they've bought, jewelry that they've designed. They have everything. This is a great jewelry store. It's just not your average jewelry store. It's a great one. So if you go to 4506 Hampton, you'll find anything that you could possibly be looking for. It will be there in those cases of jewelry. Now, In addition to that, if you've got jewelry to buy or sell, if you want to sell it to them, you want to buy and sell, you want to trade, you want coins, all of that. They do it all at Jewels on Hampton. And on top of that, they'll fix your watch. That is 4506 Hampton, Jewels on Hampton. Now, the greatest clothes for men can be found at the St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton. And, of course, the best is the ties. I mean, the ties will get you in there every time. When I tell people about the ties, they look at me, they look at my tie, and they say, really? Where'd you say that is? Well, it's at Forsyth and Central in Clayton, and you can go and get one of these great $5 ties. They are exceptional. They really are. They're silk. They look like 50, but they're 5. Now, on top of that, they've got suits. They've got sport coats. They've got shoes. They've got shirts. They've got great overcoats. But I walked outside this morning, and I felt that little bit of chill sneaking in, and I thought to myself, you know, these people, what they're going to do is they're going to wait, and the prices will be up on all the new overcoats, and you'll miss the bargains. And I don't know, you may have missed them already, but it doesn't matter because everything's a bargain at the St. Louis Suit Company. They've been there for 30 years. They know what they're doing. They sell great clothes, and everybody loves them. And if you're thinking about getting married, that's definitely the place to go, the St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton, because when it comes to wedding attire, they're the best. St. Louis Suit Company, they are in Clayton at Forsyth and Central. Okay. So, you know, my brother, Les, you know, he sort of enjoys watching the train wreck on Fox. And that's not unusual. You know, you drive down a highway and you see what's going on the side of the road. And what do they have? You know, they have people pulled off to the side and, you know, there was a wreck. And then all of a sudden everybody slows down so they can watch it. Okay, so you can watch Fox and do that. But that's no pleasure to me. I can tell you that right now. First of all, it's racism. It's hatred of people from other countries who are trying to come here to live a good life. They somehow maybe heard about the Statue of Liberty. They know about the words. They know about bring me your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. Yeah, they know about it. And they want to come here, and they want to find a better life. And the great thing about it is when they get here, they do no harm. We do a lot of harm to ourselves. But those immigrants who cross the border, not only are they great people when they come here, they're just looking for a better life. And if we would help them to find it, they would support our country in ways that, I don't know, most people either they don't understand or they've forgotten or something. But it's a shame because immigration is a valuable part of what works in the United States. And, you know, even a guy that I have disagreed with on everything, Ronald Reagan, said exactly what I'm telling you. It rejuvenates the country. It strengthens our democracy. It does everything good for us. And yet we've got people running around afraid that a Mexican's going to cross the border because Donald says that they come out of insane asylums and that they've all got fentanyl in their pockets. But while all of that's being said, you know that the border crossings are lower than they were under Donald Trump. And that's all right, because people just deny it. But it's easy to deny anything. And if Donald says it's true, then everyone just believes it. But the point is, we should have 20,000 people a day coming over that border. Be nothing wrong with it. Just get a million kids down there out of high school, first year of college. Let them go down there, mentor those immigrants. Be unbelievable the greatness that you'd come out of it. DRC writes, crime increases over 66%. Hey, DRC, all that proves is that you're one of those guys in the Gallup poll who's saying all kinds of things about crime in the United States that are all wrong. Now, I know you think the government's lying, that there's crime rampant. But I have to say, and I understand he's one of my other relatives, you probably don't believe him, but my cousin in Arizona, you know, we're all laughing about all these people coming across the border who are dropping dead because of rampant migrant crime. And we both agree. I mean, I haven't seen it, but Michael has. And he says there isn't a body laying anywhere. If there are hundreds of thousands of dead people down there, give me a break. And then DRC says, back up your claims. Well, you know what? Here, let's do this, because I got a few minutes here. Joe, have you got my oil chart? Can you throw that one up here in a minute? And it doesn't have to be right away. We got a few. Oh, look at that. I mean, Joe is the best in the world. I mean, he's got everything like that. Anyway, okay. So here, these are statistics from the United States government. This is U.S. crude oil production. Now, you can see that crude oil production is higher than it was under Donald Trump. But here's the best one. Look back to 2019, okay? And you can see that what happened is that during COVID, all those numbers came plunging down. And then what happened? And then in comes Joe Biden with the numbers down 9,500 barrels. You got to put zeros on the end of it, but okay. But then when he came in and there was still COVID, but the numbers immediately started going up. And with a couple of blips, the numbers went straight up for the entire presidency of Joe Biden. Straight up. Constantly. And by the time you got to 2023 and early 24, the numbers were going to new highs, to the highest levels of any country in the world. And you're going to look at the chart and tell me what? Prove it? What do you think? I got the oil barrels in my pocket? This is the number from the United States government. Now, if you think they're lying, hey, that's your problem. I can't help you, because I believe in government statistics. And you may forget this, and this has nothing to do with Democrat or anything, because there are plenty of Democrats who don't like government. I love government. I trust government. And part of the reason I do is because our government is made up of tens of thousands of regular people who go to work every single day, working hard in the various agencies that they're in order to try to do a great job for the people of the United States. These guys don't work for the Democratic Party. Many of them are Republicans. They simply care about America. They love the country. They go to work. They get paid relatively on the low side, but they don't care because they just like being part of the government and part of the effort of our citizens to make this a great place to live. Just the way it is. Now, you want proof of it? What am I going to do? Bring everybody from the government over to your house and you're going to interrogate them? I don't think so. I mean, what do you want me to do? Bring the oil barrels to your house to prove that they're there? Everybody knows that in 2024, we began exporting more oil than we import. That's because we are, under Joe Biden, oil independent. Now, you can argue with the government numbers all you want. And believe me, when you watch, if you do, you probably won't, but if you watch the Democratic Party convention tonight, you are going to hear some of the best political speeches in the history of the United States. They're going to be heartfelt. They're going to be so genuine. And actually, they're going to be right, because Barack and Michelle Obama are going to explain to the world what it is that Kamala Harris is going to do in order to become the next president of the United States. I know Donald says her father is a Marxist. I mean, that man will say anything. Anything. Father's a Marxist professor. What is a Marxist professor? He doesn't even know what he's talking about. He says Kamala is going to shut down the country's power plants. How silly. And that World War III is coming without Donald Trump. Come on. You believe this stuff? Do you really? Because I can tell you this. There are 35 or 40% of the people in this country who do believe it. I assure you they do. And if we get to November and we end up, you know, 60, 40 or 58, 42 in favor of Kamala Harris, don't worry, because Donald will jump up immediately and say he won. And then they'll fight to try to get this into the House of Representatives. But here's the thing. It's not going to be that simple, because there are Democratic Party lawyers who have been sent out to all of these locations around the country where the Republican Party is trying to see if they can pull this shenanigan. And I can promise you this, and they're promising us, these lawyers, they're promising that what they're going to do is they're going to make certain that these elections are certified, because they're going to be real and they're going to be honest and they're going to be dramatically in favor of Kamala Harris. And if you come out of tonight's convention not believing that, that's on you, because this country is absolutely on fire. They love Kamala Harris. They do. And they love Joe Biden, too. And I have to tell you, the people at that convention for sure love AOC. Now, I know there are people around the country who fear her. But, you know, she's a smart, young woman of color. And when I say a smart one, she's one of the smartest. Go check her grades at Boston University. She was brilliant. That's okay. I'll be back tomorrow. Thanks to Wendy's, Jules on Hampton, and the St. Louis Suit Company. I'm Mark Kaysen. This is Showdown. Good night.